Today's daf is Shabbos daf Pei Dalid. We left off on the very bottom of daf Pei Gimel Beis. We got all the way down to the bottom. The discussion that we began with the Mishnah was about the Tahara of a Svina. We said that a boat is not Mekabel Tuma, but we had a Machlokas Tanayim why it is that a boat is not Mekabel Tuma. Our Mishnah said, let's call our Mishnah the Chachamim, let's say that the boat is not Mekabel Tuma because the Pasuk says, Derech Aniyah Belev Yam. So we say that just like that somehow the Gemara explains that obviously we know where a boat goes. We know a boat goes in the sea. So obviously the Pasuk is trying to tell me something. What it's trying to tell me is that just like a Yam is not Mekabel Tuma, so too a boat is not Mekabel Tuma. The Shita of Chananya, however, disagrees and says, no, the real reason that a boat is not Mekabel Tuma is because we compare all Kalim to Sak, that Ma Sak is Metalta Mali Verekan, just like Sak is only Tame, a sackcloth bag is only Tame if it's small enough that you can move it around even when it's full, so too any Kli that's Metalta Mali Verekan, that any Kli that could be moved around when it's full and when it's empty is going to be Mekabel Tuma, but a boat is too large. When it's full, it's not Mekabel, it's not able to be moved around, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tuma. That is Machlokas. We're going to come back to that Machlokas today, so that's important to remember. Machlokas Tanakam and Chananya. The Gemara gave two Nafkaminas between the Chacham and Chananya. Nafkamina number one is a Sfina Shel Cheres, a boat made out of Cheres, where Cheres was never compared to Sak. It doesn't have to fit the criteria that are set forth by sackcloth, and therefore wouldn't have to fit the criteria of being Metaltal Mali Varekan, but certainly it is Belev Yam, a boat made out of Cheres is still in the ocean. So if you go with the Chachamim that it's all based on being compared to the ocean, so a Sfina Shel Cheres is also not Mekabel Tuma. But if it's about the comparison to Sak, then a Sfina Shel Cheres will be Mekabel Tuma. The other Nafkamina is a Sfina Sayardain. We had said that a Sfina Sayardain is a smaller kind of boat, so it is Metaltal Mali. It can be moved even when it is full, and therefore, if you hold like the Chacham that it's about being Belev Yam, well, it's also Belev Yam, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tuma. But if you hold like Chananya that it's about being Metaltal Mali Verekon, well, this is Metaltal Mali Verekon, and therefore is Mekabel Tuma. So that led us into a whole bunch of Agadita statements about the beauty of, or the importance of going to the Beis Medrash and of always learning Torah, even never being Mevatel Torah for even a short amount of time, and even Bishas Misa, and then being Mamis oneself over Divrei Torah. Good, but now we get back to the primary discussion. The last two words on the page on Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Rava, Ule Chananya, according to Chananya, that it's all about the comparison to Sak, and that's how we know that a boat that's compared to Sak is Mekabel Tuma only when it's Metaltal Malay, but if it's too large, Metaltal Malay, it's not going to be Mekabel Tuma. What's called Metaltal Malay? Who has to be able to move it? Some people are stronger than others, and sometimes you can move things with machinery. So what's called Tiltal Malay? So says the Gemara, says Rava, according to Chananya, Tiltal Al Yedei Shvarim Shmei Tiltal. If it's able to be moved even by oxen, that's enough to be called Metaltal Malay. The fact that an ox is strong enough to move it, that's also called Tiltal Malay. So Rashi on the top of Chananya, Damar Sfina Metaltalas Malay Atmeya, Afilu Eina Metaltalas Ela Ali Deshvarim Merov Gadla, Have a Tiltal Tmeya. Even because of its size, it can only be moved by oxen. That's called Tiltal, and it's going to be Tame. Now if it is Mekabel Tuma, so then the next issue you're going to have to deal with something like this is, does it make an ohel? Generally speaking, to be chotzeitz b'fnei Tuma, meaning more lemaisa for us, is that issue. Meaning generally speaking, something that itself can become Tame is not able to be an ohel that's chotzeitz b'fnei Tuma, that stops the Tuma from going. So let's say you have a wagon that itself is Tame because it's metalta mali breaker and it can be moved by shvarim, and the wagon goes over a mace, and there's a kohen in the wagon. So do we assume that the kohen becomes tameh, or do we assume that the floor of the wagon, if it's more than a tefach off the ground, which it must be, that the floor of the wagon would be chotit b'fnei ha-tumah, would stop the tumah? So according to this, we're saying that if the wagon could be metaltal al-yidei shvarim, even though a human being can't be metaltal, it would be mekabel tumah. If it's mekabel tumah, it's going to have a problem be chotit b'fnei ha-tumah. Tuma. This is very this concept is very nogel lemaisa when it comes to Kohanim on airplanes. You have two issues with Kohanim on airplanes. One issue that people talk about more often is the El Al flights that take Mesim on the plane, where you have to figure out if there's any way that a Kohen is allowed to be on a plane when there's a Mesim on the plane. If there's any, they designed them, I don't know, a while ago, they designed special compartments that maybe do save the problem, maybe don't save the problem. That's the issue that gets spoken about a little bit more. The issue that gets spoken about a little bit less is the, because everyone's knowing to be Mekel, for whatever reason, is that planes often fly over cemeteries. And if a plane is flying over a cemetery and the Kohen's in the plane, so isn't the Tumah from the cemetery, isn't it Metame, the Kohanim in the plane? So a lot of what that really depends on two issues. It depends on the concept of Ohel Zaruk, whether Ohel Zaruk is Shmei Ohel or Lav Shmei Ohel, that if an Ohel is moving, is it called an Ohel that could be Chotzeitz the Tumah, that could stop the Tumah from continuing, and therefore the bottom of the plane would stop the Tumah, or is it not called an Ohel? And the other issue that's Nogea is a plane Mekabel Tumah? If a plane itself is Mekabel Tumah, then it can't be Chotzeitz. It wouldn't be an Ohel at all. If it's not Mekabel Tumah, then it can be Chotzeitz. So that's the question. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe says, well, it's mostly made out of metals that are not mentioned in the Torah, and therefore it does not have a din of Klei Matechas, and it would be Chotzeitz Bifnei Tumah. Rav Shachter has a whole piece in the Sefer Bikvei Atzon, where he has a whole different idea as to why it is that Kohanim are allowed to fly in planes without concern that it may go over a cemetery. But again, this issue of being mekabel tumah in its own right is a major part of that sugya. Rav Shachter once said that someone, after he wrote that piece, someone called him up and said, "How could you write this? Now Kohanim are going to fly in airplanes, and it's all your fault." And he said, "I think Kohanim were flying in airplanes before. Some because of Rav Moshe's tshuva." But he said, "I didn't like Rav Moshe's tshuva. I give a different reason." Okay, so that's the every good deed gets someone to criticize. So says the Gemara says further now. So again, Rava says, so Tiltal de Shvarim is Shmei Tiltal. That's called Tiltal de Tanan. And we have a Mishnah that supports this idea that as long as Shvarim can be metaltal something, that's called that it's movable. So what does the Mishnah say? Shalosh Agolos Hein. There are three types of wagons. The type number one is Asuya Kikatidra, if it's shaped like a chair so that people could sit in it, meaning the wagon is primarily made for people to sit in, so Tamei Medrus. Then it could even become Tamei Tumas Medrus, because it's made for yeshiva, it's made for people to sit in. Kimita, if it's shaped like a bed, then Tamei Tamei Meis. Then it could become Tamei with Tumas Meis. If you look at Rashi explains, Kolomar, Mekabelas Shar Tumas Kulon. When we say Tumas Meis, we don't only mean Tumas Meis, we mean all other Tumas. Chutz mi Tumas Medrus. We mean it's Mekabel Tumah, all Tumas except for Tumas Medrus. Why? The kli after the kabel tumah, it is a kli in the sense that, and it's therefore capable of being mekabel tumah. Why is it not tamei tumas medrus uli yeshiva eni miuchedes shatan ba pragmatia? Because it's not really made for sitting, this type of wagon. It's made for transporting products that you want to go and sell. Va'omelo amod v'nasim lachtenu. And if a person is sitting in it, they'll often tell him, "Get up so that we could use this for what it's intended." Intended use is to load it up with the items that we want to go and sell. V'hadinaka tamei meis. Why do we dafka mention tamei meis if the idea is that it could be mekabel every kind of tumah except for medrus? Mishum da'ava tumahu, because tumas meis is it's the most severe kind of tumah. V'achli kamar ava tumahu al yidei meis v'al yidei zav. So what we're trying to say is that even though it cannot become an ava tumah by being a moshav hazav, it can become an ava tumah by coming in contact with the mace, with an aviyavos ha-tumah. So it's able to have even the highest level of tumah. That's the second type of wagon. A wagon that's made like a mita, where it could be mekabel all sorts of tumah, except for tumas medrus, because it's not miyuchad for yeshiva. But then there's a third type, shalavanim tahora miklum. If the wagon is meant to transport heavy rocks, which then it's not tumah at all, it's not even like a kli at all. If you look at Rashi, Torah Miklum, Eina Mekabel Shum Tuma, Lefi Shaprutza Mitachtel, and the Kavim Gedolim, Velo Kliu, the Kalakelim Shirin Karimonim. That with the assumption is it's carrying these very, very large, heavy rocks, and therefore it likely has a lot of holes at the bottom of the wagon that are larger than the size of a pomegranate. They're just a lot smaller than the size of the rocks that it holds, but larger than the size of a pomegranate, and the definition of a base kibul, of a kli that can hold something, is a kli whose holes aren't so big that pomegranates would fall out. So therefore, it's not considered to have a base kibul at all, and it can't be makabel any sort of tumah. Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan commented, "Vim yeshba base kibul rimonim tamei tamimes." If it were able to hold pomegranates, meaning it did not have these giant holes at the bottom that were so large that pomegranates would fall out, then it would be tamei tumas meis. Then it would be able to, in lav davka again tumas meis, then it would be able to be mekabel all sorts of tumah except for tumas medrash. How does this prove anything about what we were trying to prove? We were trying to prove that metaltel mali v'reikon, that when we say that a kli is only mekabel tumah if you can move it while it's full, that means even if only oxen can move it while it's full. So says Rashi, it's from this last type of wagon that we prove that idea. Because what did we say? That if it doesn't have giant holes at the bottom, it's able to be mekabel tumah. Who's able to move a wagon that's full of giant rocks, that's full of these massive rocks that they would use to transport? People can't move such a wagon. Says Rashi, Alma afagav de shalaitz iskish lasak de bina metaltam lev reikon vizu eina metaltelis ela al yidei shvarim kamer tmei tamim meis. Only oxen can move such a wagon, and yet we still say that if the holes aren't that big, it could become tamei with tumas meis. It could become tamei with all sorts of tumah. Now, once we mentioned that, we mentioned the three types of wagons. So the Mishnah, the Gemara also mentions what another item that has three types that's mentioned in that same Mishnah. Nothing to do with our Gemara. We just mentioned shalosh tefel sein. There are three types of boxes. Tosos points out it's very difficult why the Gemara chose to mention this one. Tosos says kashaluri amai maisila dimishum dehi seifa. Why are we mentioning these three boxes? It's got nothing to do with our sugya. So you want to say, oh, because it's a continuation of that mission of the three agalos, so we just quote a little more of the mission than necessary. So it says the problem is, that in between the Gimel Agalos and the Gimel Tevos is another case of Gimel Arivos, three types of bowls. And yet that we don't mention. So if we're just continuing the Hemshech of the Mishnah, so we should have mentioned the next case that's brought in the Mishnah. But we don't. We skip that part of the Mishnah, and then we go straight to the three Tevos, and none of it has anything to do with our Gemara. So that makes no sense that we would quote this part of the Mishnah, but the Gemara does, so we have to learn it. So let's see. So Shalosh Tevos Hein. So there are three types of boxes. Teva Shepischa Mitzida Tmeya Medrash. If you have a box that opens from the side, it could become Tamei Tumas Medrash. What's the definition of something that's Miyuchad the Yeshiva? Something that people would often sit on and would never be told, stand up because we need to use this item for its primary use. So get up because you can't be on it while we're using it. Well, if the opening of the box is from the side, no one's ever going to tell somebody who's sitting on top of it, get up because we need to use it. You could use it while I'm sitting on top of it. Open it from the side. I'm sitting on the top of the box, and therefore it is able to be mekabel tumas medrash. Someone who's lying on it or sitting on it is never going to be told, amod v'nasa melachtenu. Milamala, but what if the opening is on the top? Well then, tmeya tamei meis. Well then, it could become tamei with all other sorts of tumah. Again, lav dafka meis, all other sorts of tumah, but not medris, because someone who would sit on top of it would be told, "Get up! We need to use the box, and you're blocking the opening of the box." V'haba b'mida tahor miklum. But if it's ba b'mida, then it's completely tar. Meaning, if it's a giant box which cannot be moved and it has a window on the top, so then it's absolutely tar. Why is it absolutely tar? So Rashi explains: the medrash lo chazya can't be used. The medrash hal v'chalana milamala in mishamesh shchiva milachta. Since the opening is on top, someone who was lying on it or sitting on it would be told, "Get up! We need to use it," and therefore it's not tamei tumas medrash. Ul l'shar tumas lo chazya deina metaltelas malaya. And the reason it can't be mekabel any other kind of tuma is because it's giant, it's huge, and therefore if it can't be moved when it's full, and something that's not metal tuma levereikam is not able to be mekabel other kinds of tuma. So again, all of that was just to prove Rava's point to be correct, and that is that when Hananya talks about something being metal tuma levereikam, it means even if oxen can move it while it's malay, that's enough movability for it to be called called metalta malay and for it to be makabel tuma. Tan Rabbanan, new brisa. Medrash klicheres tahar. The medrash of a klicheres is tahar, meaning a zava nida yalada sits on a klicheres. Even if it is miyuchad liyeshiva, even if it is designated for sitting, it does not become tamei tumas medrash. It does not become an avatuma as a moshav or a mishkav hazav. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af hasvina. Rabbi Yossi says, oh yeah, you think that's the only thing that's tahar? A boat's also tahar. So ask him, Maika Amar, what's this great chiddush? Rabbi Yossi can't be saying what we think he's saying, that a boat is tahar, because of course a boat is tahar. We that was our Mishnah, that was everything we've said until this point. So what's Rabbi Yossi adding when he says af hasvina? So Maika Amar. So says the Gemara, two possibilities. First one we're going to reject, but two possibilities. Amar Rav Zvid, hachika Amar, medris klicheres tahar umaga'o tamei. What it meant to say is that a klicheres cannot become tamei tumas medris, but can become tamei tumas maga. If something touches, let's say a mace touches the klicheres, it can become tamei that way. Usvina shel cheres tamei kichananya, and a boat made out of cheres. Well, remember, this was one of the nafkaminas between our Tana of our Mishnah and Chananya. Why is a boat generally tahar? If it's about belev yam, well, then even a sfina shel cheres is tahar. But Chananya holds it's because it's compared to sak. Well, cheres is never compared to sak, and therefore a sfina shel cheres, according to Chananya, will be tamei. So that's what this brisa is holding. The brisa, the Tanakama, the brisa says that a sfina shel cheres will become tamei, like Chananya. And that's where Rabbi Yossi pipes up and says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, afasvina Torah. Why? Kitana didan. Because I hold like the Tana of our Mishnah, not like Chananya. And this was one of the nafkaminas. So says Gemara, Maskar of Papa, my af. If that were the case, that Rabbi Yossi is just arguing on the Tanakama who holds like Chananya, what's the lashon of afsvina? As Rashi points out, my afsvina al karchach tahora mimaga ka'amar. When he's saying tahora, he's saying it's tahora mimaga. Umay af halotir Tanakama kli mimaga. The Tanakama wasn't mitar anything from maga. When you say af, you mean to say, oh, not only is what you said tahor, I have something else that's also tahor. So, but Tanakama didn't say anything was tahor. Tanakama said everything was tameh. So what's the af of Rabbi Yossi? So that's the part that doesn't make sense about this explanation of the Braisa. Elam Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says the explanation of the Braisa is as follows. Hachi kamer. This is the way to read the Braisa. And again, it involves adding a lot of words into the Braisa. Medris klicheres tahar umaga'o tameh. Medris of a klicheres is tahar, but through maga, a klicheres can become tameh. And here's what we add in. Vishel eitz. And if a kli is made out of wood, bein medreso, ubein maga'o tameh. Both its medris and its maga are going to be tameh. Usvina seyardein tahora kitana didan. And a small boat is going to be tahora, like our town of our Mishnah. Well, it doesn't matter the size of the boat, as long as it's belev yam, it's going to be tahora. Rabbi Yossi Omer af asvina timeya, that asvina seyardein is going to be tameh. Why? Kechananya, because he holds like Chananya that a Sfina Seyardein is going to be tameh because it's metal tel malay. It could be moved even when it's full. Period. So that's what the Brice is coming to teach. That's what Rabbi Yossi is coming to teach in the Brice when he says af hasvina. But either way of understanding the Brice, what it boils down to is that the machlokas in the Brice is the same machlokas as we had between our Tana and Chananya. It's just a different way of expressing the same machlokas. But along the way, the Brice happened to mention this idea that a kli cheres cannot become tamei tumas medris. That wasn't really our issue with the boat. With the boat, it was about kli cheres not become whether or not a boat that's cheres can become tamei with any other type of tuma. But we happen to mention that kli cheres cannot become tamei with medris. So says the Gemara, medris kli cheres minolan de tahar. How do we know that to be true? How do we know that a kli cheres cannot become tamei tumas medris? So again, two possible suggestions the Gemara has. Suggestion number one, Amr Chizkiya, Amr Kra, the ish asher yiga b'mishkavo, a man who touches his Mishkav. Who's Mishkav? The Mishkav of the Zav. So why do we, it's so possessive. His Mishkav. What's that coming to teach me? Makish Mishkav Olo. It's by making it so possessive, it's telling me that the Mishkav is compared to the person. Mahu Islay Tarab Mikvah. Just like a Zav has Tarab Mikvah. Af Mishkavo, Nami Yisle Tarab Mikvah. In order for something to be eligible to be called a Mishkav Hazav, it has to be eligible for Tarab Mikvah. And the fact is that Klicheres does not have Tarab Mikvah. Klicheres can never become Tarab in a Mikvah. Klicheres, the only Tarab is by shattering it, by breaking it. And that's how I know that Klicheres is not eligible to be a Mishkav Hazav. If you look at Tosos, Mahu Disle Tarab Mikvah, it says, Lav Dafka Nakan Mikvah. He says, it doesn't really have to be a Mikvah. You know, there are two ways for things to become tahar through water. There's mikvah and there's mayan. So zav is not really, doesn't really require tahar b'mikvah. So zav ba mayim chayim. Zav actually requires mayim chayim to become tahar. El mishum debay leminkat mikvah gabe mishkav u'moshav u'le'inin mayim chayim lo matzrichinan she'etan b'mishkav u'moshav kizav d'lo b'inan el d'dami leporta disle tahara. Meaning when we say that the mishkav has to be like the zav, it doesn't mean that it needs to have tahara in mamish the same way as the Zav, because the Zav has Tara with Mayim Chayim. Any sort of kli that you would use as a Mishkav, the way to be Matara would be by putting it in a mikvah, in still water, and not in standing water, not in Mayim Chayim, not in a spring of water. So Tal says, you see clearly what we're saying when we compare the Mishkav to the Zav, it's not a 100% comparison. It doesn't have to be exactly the same, because any kli would have Tara b'mikvah, the Zav has Tara b'mayim Chayim. But that's one possible source of how I know that a Kli Cheres cannot become a Mishkav Hazav. Second possible source, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, K'mishkav Nidasa Yihiela. So over here we talk about K'mishkav Nidasa. So Makish Mishkav Allah, we're comparing the Mishkav to her, to who? To the Nida. Mahi Islatar B'mikva, Af Mishkav Anami Islatar B'mikva. Very similar to Drasha, but instead of using a Zav, we use a Nida as the topic of this Pasuk. And we say that just like of this Drasha, that just like a Nida has Tar B'mikva, so too anything that could become a Mishkav of a Nida has to be something that has Tar B'mikva. Lafuke Klicheres Lasei Tar B'mikva, as opposed to Klicheres, which Klicheres does not have Tar B'mikva. Good, so those are two sources of how we know that a Klicheres cannot become a Mishkav Hazav. So fresh the Gemara, Masiv Rabbi La'a, Mapatz B'meis Minayin. Separate issue now. Again, we're just discussing a variety of Tumah and Tara related issues. It started with boats, but now it moved on into other topics as well. So we discussed the concept of Mishkav of Klicheres becoming a Mishkav and how that cannot happen. And now we discuss a mat, a reed mat. Can it become tameh with tumas meis? What's the issue? Says Rashi, mapat shel kamin b'meis minayin. Shu tameh lefi. How do I know? We know it can become tameh minayin. How do I know that it can become tameh? Shu tameh lefi shematzinu shepshutei kliyets tahorin mitumas maga sheretz minayin shekli aroy lemishkav moshe mekabel tumas maga b'meis. I know that generally speaking, pshute kliyets, flat kliyets that don't have a base kibul, cannot become tameh with maga of a sheretz. So why, where would I learn that if it's a mat that people would sleep on, that people would lie on, that it would be mekabel tumas meis? That's the shaila the Gemara raises. Where do I know that it's mekabel tumas meis? The Tosa says that we're talking about a mapa shel shifa v'gemi, that it's not a mapat shall eat. Whatever it is, though, what you do see from here, when we're going to see where we learn it from, but we do see that it is mekabel tumah. The problem with this is the Rush, the Ran, all the Rishonim on Daf Samachay Amar Aleph raise a problem with this Gemara. What's the problem? What happened on Daf Samachay Amar Aleph? Rashi over there was Mefarish, that the Gemara over there said that Shmuel, one of the nice things he did for his daughters, was that he made Maftsi Lebenosav for Tvila. When they would go to the mikveh, so in the times when they would go to the mikveh, he didn't want the dirt of the mikveh to end up being a chatzitz on their feet. So he made these mats that they could stand on the mats in the mikveh so that they wouldn't have the chatzitza in the mikveh. He made mapats. Now the halacha is that a woman, when she goes to the mikvah, is not allowed to stand on a davar mekabel tuma. She's not allowed to stand on something that's mekabel tuma. So our Gemara over here says that it's mekabel tuma. The way Rashi understood the mappets that Shmuel made for his daughters is so that they could stand on it. You're not allowed to stand on a davar mekabel tuma. If you say like Tosos, you don't have a problem. Tosos there says, no, they didn't, and all the other Rishonim, that the mats weren't for them to stand on. He made mats to make like mechitos, so people couldn't see them. It was for tznius purposes. Good, so then you don't have a problem. You can have a mechitza that's mekabel tuma, that's totally okay. But if it's a mat to stand on, so that's going to be a big problem. In Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Tzadiches, Sif Lamed Aleph, and the Mefarshim over there discusses this issue. Perhaps, Shor Mitzion Balacha suggests, perhaps you could answer based on the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Kelim, Perach of Zayin, Halacha Tes, writes that Mapot Shel Gisos, when they have a wine press, they would have mats by the wine press also. They would put the grapes on it and step on it or whatever. So those mats are Tohar Miklum. Those mats are completely Tohar. And the Gemara said earlier in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph that if you have mats that are less than Shlosha al Shlosha, so that are less than 3 by 3 Tfachim, they're also Tahar, except for Temer Pishtim. So it could be that the mats that Shmuel made are either he took Mapot Shel Gisos, he took the wine press mats, which are Tahar, or he took small pieces, small cuts of mats that are less than 3 by 3 Tfachim for his daughters to stand on. And then, therefore they're not Mekabel Tumah for that reason. So, but our Gemara is very clear that a Mapatz is Mekabel Tumas Meis. So we want to know, how do we know this? That's Rabbi Lo's question. Mapatz Meis Minayin. So says Gemara V'dinu, it's logical. Uma Pachim Ketanim, Shetaharun Bezav, Tumayim B'meis, if Pachim Ketanim, small pottery vessels, are Tahar from Tumah of Azav, and yet can become Tamei with Tumah of a Meis, Mapatz Shetamei Bezav, so mapots which can become tamei from a zav because it's made for lying, it's miyuchad l'shchiva, so certainly it could be mekabel tumas medris, so for sure should be able to be mekabel tumas meis. What's the story with pachim ketanim? Pachim ketanim can't become tamei from a zav, so why is that the case? Says Rashi, v'dinu ma pachim ketanim shalcher shetorim b'zav she'enim metanim al yado b'shum tumas. Says Rashi, let's go through the tumas and see why pachim ketanim can't get any of these tumas. He says dil medris l'chaz. Tumas medrash is easy. You don't sit on it, you don't lie in it. You can only the only things that are kabbal tumas medrash are things that are miyuchad for yeshiva. Vochein shel cheres ubumaga lo litmu. They're made out of cheres, so touching it from the outside doesn't help. There is no tumas maga on a kli cheres. Kli cheres is only tamei ba'aviro mi bifnim. It's not metame with touching it from the outside. It's only tamei in the airspace. A kli cheres only becomes tamei when tuma enters the airspace of the kli. Touching it from the outside, it doesn't do anything. So maybe it becomes tamei when I stick my finger inside and I'll be metamei it that way. No, but these are pachin ketanim. You're not going to be able to stick your finger inside because it's such a narrow opening. Ubehesed lo, what about tuma by moving it? If a zav moves something, it becomes tame. No, da'afke rachmana b'lashon negiyah. Because hesed, we learn, the Torah teaches us in a lashon of negiyah, and we learn from there, d'kol she'enu metamei maga, enu metamei mehesed. Anything that can't become tame with tumas maga is ineligible for tumas hesed. Ubar varotev amar nami hachi l'gabi tumas masa, esha b'chal maga b'chal masa. And why can't it be mekabel tumas masa? Because again, only something that's mekabel tumas maga could be mekabel tumas masa, so therefore it's ineligible for any of the classical tumas. Says Rashi, but wait a second, who says it can't be touched? You can't stick your finger inside of there, but a zav could stick something inside. He could stick his hair inside of it. His hair is very thin, so afal pisha efshaliga b'chut ha-sa'ara, even though he could touch the inside of the kli using his hair, v'tanya b'toras kanan d'se'ara zav mitame, and hair of zav is also mitame. Don't think that hair is not part of his body, it's not mitame. It is, it could also be mitame. Yeah, hair can be metame a kli. Hair of a zav can be metame a kli if it's a kli that the zav could touch with his basar also. But if it's a kli that the zav can't even fit his pinky into, he can't touch with his basar, there's no part of his body that he could stick in there, so then the hair will not be metame. Kedichsiv, Pasuk doesn't just say vanogea, it says vanogea bibasar azav. It has to be that the basar azav is able to touch the inside of the kli. So these pachim katanim are not able to become tame with any sort of tumah. So Tosos just raises the following question. Tosos says, wait a second, third wide line of Tosos, third medium-sized line of Tosos, Dibur Maskel Shetorim, Vim Tomer, if this rule is true, that anything that is that cannot become Tomei from a Zav that Pachim Ketanim, that a Tar from a Zav, could still become Tomei with Mace, so anything that can become Tomei with Zav for sure could become Tomei with the Mace, says Tosos, Vim Tomer, Imkain, Kli Cheres HaMukav Tzamed Pasil, Lo Yitame Behesed. Meaning, the rule again, if the rule that Rashi said, that Tumas Hesed is only for things that could become Tame with Maga, that only things that you can touch can you be Metame when you move it from the outside. And that's why these Pachin Ketanim can't become Tame when a Zav moves them, because a Zav can't touch them, he can't be Metame them through his touch. So says Tosas, if that's the case, let's say you have a larger Klicheris, that's Mukav Tzam Seal, that has a seal on top of it, it has a cap on top of it. So we should say that it can't become Tame with Tumas Hesed. Uperakam the Nida, Amar, Sheinu Nitzel B'meisle Shvenida. That we assume that if the Nida moved it, it does become Tame. That the Tzam Seal doesn't help. Aye, but you can't touch the inside of it because it's covered, it has a cap on it. And Gittin also we have such a line that you have to be worried, maybe your wife who's a Nida moved it. So you see that moving it is metameit. So how can you say that it becomes tummy with Hesed? You can't touch it. So Rabbeinu Tam gives the obvious answer. Rama Rabbeinu Tam did some seal. That some pasil is not considered something that can't become tamei tumas maga. Sure, it can become tamei tumas maga. All you got to do is open it. If you open it, it will then become tamei tumas maga. Whereas the pachim ketanim, the opening is so narrow that there is no way to get your hands inside of it. The larger klicheres is mukav tamei pasil. You can reach inside of it as long as you open it. So that's called Ba'alichlal maga. So the idea is that because it's so narrow, that's why it's not mitame tumas hesed. So I just saw the following discussion. The Bach in we're a little late on this discussion. I guess the opposite of Daf Yomi coincidence, but the Bach in Or Chaim Simen Tuf Reish Ayin Hilchos Chanukah says about the pach that they found, the pach shemen that they found by Chanukah that was munach b'chosama shel kohen gadol. He says, how did they find that? What about Tumas Hesed? It was moved around. No? So how could it not be? How could they be sure it wasn't moved around? It could have the chosam of the kohen gadol. It just means it wasn't opened, but it may have been moved around. So he says, it must be that it was such a pach katan, it was so small that its mouth, its opening was so narrow that you weren't able to stick your finger in it. And since it's not able to become tummy with Tumas Maga while it's still in the Kli, so it's not metame with Tumas Hesed either while the oil is still in the Kli. That's why Hesed, that's the connection between Hesed and Nagia that Rashi highlights over here, that anything that's not Mekabel Tumas Maga is not Mekabel Tumas Hesed. Why do they need the Chosam of the Kohen Gadol? Because if you don't have the Chosam of the Kohen Gadol, then you have to be Choshesh that maybe they took the oil out or Metame the oil that way and then put it back in. Once it's Tame and you put it back in, so it's going to be Tame. But if it was sealed the whole time, even if they moved it all around, it doesn't make a difference. Since they can't reach inside, it would remain tahar. No, the Behuda in Madura Tinyana or Chaim Sum Kuflam Zayin doesn't like that position of the Bach. He said, no, according to Tosos over here, Mukav Tzam Pasil is Mekabel Tumas Hesed. Why? Because you could open it. You can access the inside of the Kli. We're talking over here about the Tuma of what? Not of the contents of the Kli, of the Kli itself. Is the Kli Tamei? So what's the rule? Is the Kli is going to be Tamei if there's a way to access the inside of the Kli? There's a way to touch the inside of the Kli by removing the cap. Says the Nodeb Yehuda, when discussing the contents of the Kli, it would probably be the same rule. If there's any way to access the contents of the Kli, then the contents of the Kli are called Balichlal Maga, that considered something that can become Tamei with Maga, and therefore they will become Tamei with Hesed. The contents of the Pach Shemen that they found. Granted, the Pach Shemen couldn't become Tamei with Hesed because it was so tiny they couldn't reach into the inside of it. But the oil they could reach, how could they reach it? They could pour it out. They didn't. It doesn't matter that they didn't. It's called Balachla. The Mukav Tzam Basil, they didn't either. But it's called Balachla Magal because they could have. The fact that they could have should have made the oil susceptible to Tumas Hesed. So that's why the Nadi Yehuda rejects the shita of the Bach. What we have to say for the Bach is that the Bach holds that since the kli is not mekabel tumah with hesed, memela, whatever is inside of it is also not mekabel tumah. That the contents go with the whatever rules the kli is governed by. But that's the discussion relating to the Pach Sheben of Chanukah, nogea to this topic. Now, Tosus also has another important point over here. Next, Tosus, Mapetz, Shetami B'Zav, Enadin, Sheyitami B'Meis, right, that if a Mapetz can become Tami from a Zav, for sure it should be able to become Tami to a Meis. Tosus says, Mikav l'chomer d'ach, l'kaim l'an b'kol d'uchta, d'kolam etame medris, etame to a Meis. This Kav l'chomer is the basis for what we say everywhere, that we always assume the rule is, anything that can become Tami to a Medris can become Tami to a Meis. Vim Tomar Kli Cheres Mukav Tzav Pesil Yachiach Shetami Bezav Demetami Behesed Could Breach La'el V'Tar B'Meis. What about a Kli Cheres as Mukav Tzav Pesil? You have a Kli Cheres, let's say, that has something Torah inside of it, and it's sealed, and you bring it into an Ola Meis. So the item inside of it remains Torah. Does not become Tamei. So it's able to be saved from Tumas Meis. And yet, it's not able to be saved from Tumas Zav. If a Zav is Masit, if the Zav moves that Kli, so then the contents are going to become Tamei. I thought that anything that can become Tamei with a Zav can automatically become Tamei with a Meis. Why is a Kli Charis Mukav Tzav Pesil different? Says, how does Tumas Hesed work? See, we think of Tumas Hesed is you're moving it from the outside. So we, you know, from on a physical level, you're only touching the outside, you're only dealing with the outside of the Kli. But says Tosfos, the way the Torah views Hesed is that when you move something, you're having such an impact on that item. Think about it. When someone touches an item, he's metame it. When you're moving an item, you're not just affecting one little area where you touch, you're affecting the entire item. So Tumas Hesed is as if you're touching it everywhere. You're touching it on the outside, the inside, everywhere. That's the way the Halacha views Tumas Hesed, because you're affecting the entire Kli by moving it. So Tumas Hesed is Ki'ilu, you're touching the inside of the Kli. Well, if a mace was touching the inside of the Kli, it would also be Metame of the Kli. Our rule is that anything that's Mekabel Tumah from a Zav is Mekabel Tumah from a mace. By Hesed, yeah, it's Mekabel Tumah from a Zav because it's Ki'ilu, the Zav is touching the inside of the Kli. So if a mace were touching the inside of the Kli, also it would be Tame. So it's not an issue, the fact that it's Mukav Tzav Pasil would not become Tame in an Ohel HaMace. It would still become Tame from a mace if a mace were inside of it. So, okay, says the Gemara, wait a second, and third line now, back in the Gemara, Vamai, Halesle Tarab Mikvah, how can you say that a Mapetz that's Tame Bezav is going to be for sure Tame B'Meis? It has no Tarab Mikvah, and I thought only things that have Tarab Mikvah can become Tame. Samuel, it can become Tame with Tumas Mishkav, right? We said Cheres. Why is it that Cheres can't be Mishkav Azav? Because it has no Tarab Mikvah. It's not like, it has to be like Azav, that just like Azav is Tarab Mikvah, or B'Mayan, so too the Mishkav has to have Tarab Mikvah. Well, a Mapetz, a mat, doesn't have Tarab Mikvah. Well, the mat is made out of wood. It's made out of reeds. And wood kelim do have tarab b'mikvah. But nothing made out of cheres has tarab b'mikvah. There's no way to be metayer anything that's made out of cheres. So that's good enough. The fact that b'mino, that's something made out of the same material as tarab b'mikvah, that's good enough. Amr lei, rachman al son mehai daita. Hashem should save us from that opinion. Adrabah, Rachman al son mehai daita. So right back at you. Rachman al son should save you from that opinion. I'm not sure why such strong lashonos or dafka used on this critical machlokas of the tumah status of the kli cheres, of a mat, of a wooden mat. I'm not sure. But they got very into it. The time of my, the bottom line, when as Rashi says, "Time amai hechak siva the mishum di ikav b'mino alvagav de bidide leka mitame neima hol the akishte lezav atzma by the tavi letar lebidide." Where do we find this concept of something that b'mino it has tar b'mikvah and that's good enough, that it itself doesn't need to have tar b'mikvah in order to be a moshav azav? All you need is that b'mino it should have tar b'mikvah. Where do we get that from? Well, trei kroik sivi. There are two pesukim psukim that seem to give opposite indications, and the only way to resolve those two psukim is by making this distinction between that which has bimino tara b'mikveh and that which doesn't. Ksiv, on the one hand, the pasuk says v'isha shayiga b'mishkavo. It says in a more possessive form, isha shayiga b'mishkavo, his mishkav. Uksiv v'kala mishkav asher yishkav alav azav yitma. Much less personal. It's a mishkav that the zav is shochev on, but nothing about his mishkav. So haketzad. Yeah, so again, mishkavo is where we learned that the mishkav has to be just like the zav. But then this other pasuk sounds like the mishkav doesn't have to be anything like the zav. So how do we reconcile the two pasukim? Yesh b'mino afligav de les leitar b'mikvah. So if the item is made out of a material that could have tara b'mikvah, even though this item itself does not have tara b'mikvah, like the wooden mat, so that's enough to become a mishkav azav. Ein b'mino makish mishkav alo. But if the material that the item is made out of, that the mishkav is made out of, is doesn't have tara b'mikvah, then it cannot become mishkav azav. And what's that? That's kli cheres. So a kli cheres cannot become a mishkav azav. A wooden mat can become a mishkav azav. Rava Amar Medrus Kli Cheres Tar Mehacha. Rava says, no, the source for Medrus Kli Cheres becoming Tahar, for the fact that there's no, that a Kli Cheres cannot become a Medrus Azav, cannot become a Mishkav Azav, is from the following. Dechsev, the Pasuk says, V'kol Kli Pasuach, Hasher Ein Samid Pasi Alav, Hayesh Samid Pasi Alav Tarhu. He said, any open Kli that doesn't have a lid on it is going to become Tameh in an Oel Ameis, but if it had a lid on it, it would be Tahar. Milo askinan diachtinu liishto nida v'karmarach manatahar. Now it sounds like we're talking about a case where even if you were miyachid it for your wife to sit on, for a wife who's a nida to sit on, it would still be tahar if it had a tzamid pasil in it, if it had a covering on it, it would still be tahar even if you're miyachid it for your shiva. But shouldn't it become tamei tumas mishkav? Elamai, you see that a kli cheres cannot become tamei tumas mishkav. So what happened over here is we asked way back when medrus kli cheres minolan detar, about 7 lines before the end of the page peidalat amar alf, we raised this question: how do I know medrus kli cheres is tahar? So first we had ish asher yiga b'mishkavo, that was the first source. Then we had k'mishkav nidasa yiela, that was the second source. And now took till now, Rava came up with a third source. How I know that a kli cheres does not become tame with tumas medrus with the mishkav of a zav or a nida or a yoledus, etc., or a zava. So the rav is the third possibility. Okay, that's the end of that sugya. Now the beauty of this perek is that each mishnah is a completely different world. It's a completely different topic that we hadn't discussed before. Because again, the only thing that the mishnayos have in common is that they're all minayin. They all start with how do I know this din, and it quotes a pasuk from somewhere that tells me some sort of din. So minayin la ruga shishal shisha tefachim. So now we move from taros to zra'im. A lot of the lesser traveled areas of Shas. Minayin la ruga shishal shisha tefachim shezorim b'toch chamisha zranin. How do I know that if you have a patch of land that's 6x6 tefachim, that you're able to plant 5 different types of seeds in that 6x6 tefach patch? How do you have 5 different seeds without running into issues of klayim? Dalet al dalet ruchos. You have a row on each edge, on each of the sides of the square, on each edge and the sides of the square, dal ruchos aruga, va'achas be'emtza. And then you have one right in the middle of the square. You plant one other type right in the middle of the square, and that's 5. How do I know that's okay? Shenemar kikards talzi tzmacha kugina zra'a tatzmiach. The Gemara will explain right away. We might as well read it right away. My mashma, how do you see that you have 5 different types in that pasuk? So Amar Rav Yehuda, so he says, take each lashon that means some type of growth or planting in that pasuk, and you'll see that it totals 5 lashonos. The pasuk says, ki ka'aretz totzi tzimcha. So we darshan from there, totzi chad, tzimcha chad. So that's already 2 lashonos of things that are growing. Zeru eha is the word in the pasuk is plural, so that's trei ha arba, so that's 4, and tatzmiach, chad ha chamisha, and tzatzmiach is another one. That's five. And kimmel the rabbanon the chamisha b'shisa lo yankim adadi. And the rabbanon have a tradition that five different items in an area of 6x6 tefachim are not going to be yonik from each other. They're not going to be nourished from each other. They'll each get their own yunika. Now, very important over here, Rashi mentions the idea that kilei zra'im is only midrabbanon to begin with. The only klayim that you have that's daraisa is kilei akerim, not kilei zra'im. Tosfos takes issue with that. This is one of the places in Shas where you have this machlokas. It comes up a few times where Tosfos says that that's not true, that kilei zra'im are also mekabel tuma midaraisa, and Tosfos has several rayas. Okay, we'll stop there. Geometry tomorrow.